you would, please open up your Bibles this morning. Just flip them open wherever you want to open them, and I'll preach from there. I've said that many times, but I don't really mean it. So anyway, now please go over to Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. That'll be our foundation this morning, and I'm just going to spend a moment on that. The title of the message today is Get Your Angels Involved. Get Your Angels Involved. And the ministry of angels is a subject that is in the Word of God. A lot of people don't know very much about angels, but as we are standing in faith, we need to employ the ministry of these angelic beings, because they do and will respond to the name of Jesus when a believer speaks that name. So I want to encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. If you have your iPad or your iPhones or whatever you may have, what's the other one? Not a BlackBerry. What's the other phone? Nobody knows? The Samsung, the other ones. Anyway, whatever you have, use it, okay? Get a Bible out. Try that for change, amen? Grab a Bible and get into that. Praise God. Romans 10, look at verse number 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Hey, let me just say this. Every one of us need to be hearing the word. There's not a person alive that doesn't need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of Almighty God, because the word gives life. The word is truth. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, Father, thy word is truth. The hearing of that spoken word of God, the rhema word of God, or reading the logos, the written word, however it is given to you, or you receive it, or you pick up your Bible and read it, or as I said, you pick up your phone or your iPad and read it off of there. Praise the Lord for it. As you do that, faith is coming up in you. I said it to you last week. You do not pray for faith. You don't ask the Lord to give you more faith. I mean, my goodness sakes, it didn't work for the disciples and it won't work for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is very, very important. During this time, again, in our nation that we are dealing with this a virus situation, I have determined that I'm not going to preach. I mean, we addressed it some, yes, but I am not going to preach messages and let a situation out there dictate and determine what will be taught to God's people. If you've heard me speak or preach at all, you're part of this church, I've taught the Word of God, the Word of faith in particular, which is what Paul said we ought to be preaching. In fact, it's right there in Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. It's the word of faith that we preach. I've said this to other people before. It's like, and I've said it to the church, what would you like me to do? Preach the word of doubt? Give you an opportunity to opt out of living for the Lord and go ahead and have a message that is just riddled with unbelief? I don't think anybody wants that. So we're supposed to be hearing the word of faith. There's no other word to be preaching. Well, we're not a word of faith church. Well, you need to be. Every church needs to be. First Church of the Word of Faith. Such and such, Word of Faith. Paul said, if anybody, in Galatians 1, he said, if anybody preaches any other word to you than that which I have already preached to you, let them be accursed. If an angel comes and tries to preach something to you that doesn't line up with that, let them be accursed. So yeah, every church ought to be a word of faith church. Is every church preaching that? No. Churches like to play the game today to make it, palatable for everybody and make it comfortable for everybody and give people an out if they choose to sin. People sin. You don't need to talk about giving them an out. People find a way to sin, don't they? Yeah. So what we need is the uncompromised word. That's what we need. Because God's not a compromiser. He never has been, and he never will be. So I have news for everybody out there. God does not compromise. Amen? Amen. I got five. Amen. All right. Praise God. So one of the things that I want to have you turn over to Matthew 18, I want to talk to you about binding the enemy. And it's important to know how to bind the devil. You say, bind the devil? What are you talking about? Well, who do you suppose is behind the problems in the earth? Well, people. Well, yes, people, but the Bible says you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 makes it very plain, very obvious. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people. There's something behind what people do. There's, you know, you're either going to be serving the Lord or listening to the enemy. That's really the bottom line of it. And people are like, how could that person do such a heinous thing to those individuals? How can these shootings happen? Who do you suppose is behind that stuff? It's not God. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's the devil. Now, you know, people get all out of balance on this, and everything turns into the devil, and everything behind the bush is a devil. Every time something happens, they get a flat tire on their car, and they think a demon put a nail in their tire. Well, that's not true. That's not the way it works. There are natural things that happen, cause and effect and various things, okay? But the fact of the matter is, when we see some of the things happening in society that we see today, don't doubt for a second the work of the enemy and how he's pushing people's buttons and getting people to do his bidding. Well, then on the flip side of that, you shouldn't be surprised that there are people showing random acts of kindness and walking in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's really, I mean, if people can walk around and you see somebody and you go, wow, that person looks like they've got an evil spirit on them. They're so nasty and rude and odd acting and all that kind of stuff. When people do things and want to hurt folks, you've seen it online. You've seen it on the news. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've maybe experienced it. But the fact is, you know, when that stuff goes on, you know, people are like, ooh, whoa, you know, wow, that's, what are you going to do about that? Well, what about when a person walks around possessed with the Lord? Huh? You know, you're supposed to be possessed of the Lord. If you're a believer, you ought to have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, speaking through you. You know, wherever we go, the Bible tells us when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. When we cast out devils, they leave. That's part of the Great Commission. But yet people think it's odd when a believer takes the word of God and starts living it someplace other than in the church. The devil wants you to keep it in the church building. Again, you are the church, and the church needs to be those presbyo, that's the Greek word for ambassadors, those that are out there communicating their faith in word and in deed. That's what we need to be doing. But yet there's, you know, so much of it is, well, we go to church and we act a certain way, and on Sunday we behave ourselves, and then come Monday, literally come Sunday afternoon, and everything changes again, and we live and act and talk the way we want to. And that's not the way it is to be. The Bible is very clear about us living this thing all the time. And again, not making room for the works of the flesh. The Bible addresses that. But I better move it so that we keep this within a decent time frame so that you can receive. But in Matthew chapter 18, the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking here, and he brings out this subject of binding and loosing. Pick it up there in verse number 18. Verily or truly I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the prayer of binding and loosing. Now, to bind is a word, an original word in the actual Hebrew that was communicated. And then, of course, we have Greek transcripts of this as well. But originally, Jesus said this in Hebrew. The word bind meant to forbid. So he's saying whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. And then when it goes on in the latter part, part B of verse 18 says, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The word loose is the word permit. So we're talking about binding and permitting. Forbidding and permitting. Binding and loosing. Forbidding and permitting. Whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. In other words, authority has been given to the believer. And we are supposed to recognize that we have authority. Now, here's the real problem with all of this. There's binding and loosing going on in the earth. And how do you do that? You do that with the words of your mouth. But too many people are binding the Lord's hands, binding and forbidding the Lord to do things based on the confession that's coming out of their lips. We have to order our words aright. We're going to go back to Daniel in just a minute. I'm going to show you something in the book of Daniel. And as I mentioned to you just a moment ago, this message is concerning angels. Well, how many of y'all know you can bind your angels too? You can forbid your angels to work for you. Some folks are like, really, you believe in angels? Well, my question turned right back at those people is, you don't? I mean, there was an angel present at the birth of Christ that announced the birth of Christ. Angels sang upon the birth of our Savior. There was an angel seated at the tomb when Jesus rose up from the dead. You remember that? Angels have been involved in the most significant events in history, being the birth of our Savior and the death and resurrection of our Savior. Angels were there. Angels have a vital role in the Word of God that we need to recognize and allow to minister on our behalf. So go on down and look at verse number 19, and we'll just touch on this quickly while we're right here in Matthew. So there in verse 18 was the prayer of binding and loosing, or the prayer of forbidding and permitting. Then verse number 19 goes on, again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, this is the prayer of agreement. There was a minister, and I'm not going to say who it was, but one of the congregation members came to me and they said that they had been involved in a church, and this is years and years ago, but they asked the pastor if he would get into agreement and pray the prayer of agreement with them over a situation going on in their lives, if they could get together in agreement, and the man didn't know what the prayer of agreement was. Now, I'll tell you something. This knowing what the prayer of agreement is about is vital to your life. As a Christian, you need to know how to get yourself in agreement with others. The Bible says one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight, and so on. But the fact is, where two or more shall agree, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask. So what do you agree on? You find scripture for the need that brings the need to the forefront and has the answer to your need. You're believing God for healing. Well, the Bible is very plain and clear about healing. It's God's will that you walk in divine health. And if you're sick, he wants you healed. The Lord is not into keeping people sick. Sickness does not glorify God in any way, shape, or form. And frankly, neither does poverty. Sin doesn't glorify God. Living uprightly before the Lord, walking in the things of God, living holy before the Lord, walking healthy brings glory to God. How can you be a presbyo, ambassador who's going out there in the name of Jesus, giving the word of God? How can you do that if you're sick as a dog lying in bed? You can't. Ambassadors are those on the go. And I'm interested to find out, as I get into the word more and more, and I look and I look and I look, I never find a place where Jesus was too sick or sick at all. Jesus was never sick, by the way. Where the Bible said, and Jesus had a runny nose, so he couldn't go out, and the disciples were standing around the door so they wouldn't get infected. You know, you just don't see that. You just don't see it in the word. Jesus was not sick. When he went to the cross, the Bible said he took all sickness and disease and poverty and sin upon himself, and he took that as the sacrificial lamb, as God in the flesh, pure as the driven snow. Jesus never sinned. He took those things upon him and then rose up from the dead, showing he was actually more powerful than any of it. And he's alive today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So this prayer of agreement is vital. You need to get into agreement regarding the word. And then it goes on, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You realize when we get together, he's right in the midst? No, he's always in us, okay? I quoted 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 a little while earlier, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Sure, he is in you. He already said he'd never leave you and never forsake you. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But it's important that you realize that when you come together, he's not only in you, he's in us all the time. He's not only in you, he's among us. He's here in this place. If you could see, if you're gathered in his name, he's there where two or more of you are gathered. He's right there in your midst, the Bible says. Yeah, it's because he's omnipresent, because he's God. And only God can do that. Do you know that the devil cannot do that? The devil cannot be everywhere at the same time. He has demon spirits that run around and float around, I suppose, that cause trouble in people's lives. But the devil himself, he's not God. He never will be. And he can't do the same things that God does. And God can be everywhere at the same time. Well, we started a good study, and we were talking about the speed of light and how God is light. And if you'll go to our website, you can find some messages on that regarding how God, from the speed of light, I mean, he operates from the speed of light up. And it's just a wonderful teaching. You can find it on our website. I don't remember the title of it. It's in the last 2 months. So you'll have to go and listen to all of them. And that's okay. All right, so go on back to Daniel chapter 10. So we're talking about binding and forbidding, and that binding the devil is something you and I need to do. We need to bind the devil, forbid him, tell him what he will not do in your life. Bind him from your finances. Bind him from your marriages. Bind him from your occupation, from your job and the people around. You can bind the devil away from you. You have authority over that rat, and he has to listen to you because you have the greater one on the inside of you, and the name of Jesus is the name that's above every name. Amen. So in Daniel chapter 10, this is that portion of scripture where Daniel is waiting. There was an angel that had explained a vision to him back in chapter 8. It was the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel is trying to now get to him to give him some more understanding. And pick it up in verse number 12. This is what the angel said to him. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for or because of your words. You see, that angel was sent, and the words were heard, and he has come to Daniel for thy words or because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, 3 weeks that is, 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. That's interesting. It's interesting. Michael came to assist Gabriel. Michael. The prayer went up, the request went out, and an angel was dispatched. But it took him 21 days to get to Daniel. Now, I'll tell you something. Some people get disgusted because they've prayed and nothing has changed or happened within 24 hours. And others are like, well, you just never know what God will do. And when they pray in the first place, they're not praying in faith. We can't do that. We need to speak the word in faith and understand that there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. The answer is on its way. All the promises in him, the Bible said, was at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it is, verse 20. All the promises in him are yes and amen. In other words, yes, I will do this for you. I am dedicated to answer my word on your behalf and bring to pass those covenant promises that you have and that I've made available to you. So, I mean, it's all there. It's all there in the word. Well, here an angel was dispatched, and that angel ran into problems. And what happened? Well, the prince of Persia. There are demon spirits in areas of the world, and there's combating going on in the heavenlies. And you can understand that when you pray, the enemy's not just going to let you have a free lunch. He's going to fight you. He's going to try to stop whatever you're believing God for. He's going to try to get in the way of it. But notice that it said that the angel was sent because of thy words in verse number 12. Thy words. And then after the angel gets there and tells him this, at the end of this chapter, that angel, let's see where I wrote it down, he strengthens Daniel. Look at verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece will come. But I will shew thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So the angels of God do battle in the heavenlies. You realize that. What was that book series, This Present Darkness? Wasn't that it years ago? And it was popular. It's a good writing concerning how evil spirits and angels minister in the earth. And when people pray, angels are sent, and then the enemy tries to get in the way. And the enemy tries to stop your healing. The enemy tries to stop the financial blessings that you have coming into your life, because the Bible says when you give, it's given back to you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into your bosom. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And I look at that and I think, well, you know, what's taken so long? Have you ever felt like that? You're believing God. What is taking so long for this to come to pass? People most of the time want things done on their timeline. And it's not done that way. It's according to your faith, be it done unto you. But then you're going to have to hang in there and continue to do the battle and do the warring. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's in Ephesians chapter 6, verses, be strong in the Lord. It starts in verse 10, then goes into verse 12, and then talks about the various pieces of armor available to Christians. And that's where we are as believers. You have the word of God, you have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and then don't forget about the ministry of angels. You can get angels involved in your life. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, when Jesus, and turn on over there, I want you to see this. Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, which means the place of pressing, was the place of the olive press, where it would crush things. Well, Jesus was being pressed mightily at that time. Do y'all remember that? And in the services upcoming, we will be talking about some of that. But Jesus, the Bible said in verse 43, this is right after Jesus said, If you're willing, Father, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is called a prayer of dedication and consecration. Jesus, in his humanity, remember, he was and is deity in the flesh. But when he came to the earth, he laid aside the privileges of being deity and functioned as a man, giving us an example to live by. That's why, because he goes and he says in John chapter 14, verse 12, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father which is in heaven. Amen. So as an ambassador, you and I are supposed to be going about doing the works of Jesus. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, they recover, cast out devils, they'll leave. These people are going to speak in new tongues. Woo, man, that doesn't just mean that the cuss goes. It's good when the cuss goes, amen? It's good after a believer gets, somebody has received Christ in their heart and the Lord starts to get a hold of things in their life, then suddenly they don't want to talk like the world. They don't want to cuss like the sailor. I don't know. Not all sailors cuss. No offense to any sailors out there. But that's an old expression, you know. You could say cuss like the construction workers or the iron workers or the, you know, this guy over here, cuss like the lawyer. You know, there are people in all different occupations that cuss. And it's not good. We ought not to cuss. Amen. There's a better way to talk. There's a more respectful way to talk. Well, anyway, this was, Jesus was saying, not my will, but yours will. be done. Now look at verse 43. I want you to see this. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven. What was he doing? Strengthening him. I like that. That verse is kind of just slipped in there and people go right over it and they never even see it. But an angel came and strengthened Jesus when he was in a position where he was, this was when the blood was, he was sweating droplets of blood. You remember that? And we have it recorded in the Bible, and I want you to go over to Hebrews chapter 1, of what that angel may have said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Hebrews chapter 1 talks about ministering spirits, and we'll get to that verse. But this in chapter 1 of Hebrews is taken from Psalm 102. And but in verses 8 through 12, I guess you can back up to 7. And of the angels, he saith, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, now this is being said unto the Son, this is being said unto Jesus, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You notice that. Now that little portion right there is what, and I believe that this is what the angel said to Jesus. I believe this was, and it is a quote out of Psalm 102, well, let's just turn over there, and hold your place here because I'm coming right back here. Psalm 102, and look at verse number 24. Psalm 102, verse 24 reads this way. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. You remember Jesus had said, if it's your will, remove this cup from me. In other words, I really don't want to have to go through this. It was the human side of Jesus. He was all man, but he was all God. And there's nobody, including our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as a man, deity in the flesh, but laid aside the privileges of his deity. It didn't make him any less deity. He just laid aside those privileges and decided to function as a man to give us an example of if we'll do the works, that I mean, we can do the things that he did in his name as these ambassadors. But Jesus in his manhood and his humanity did not want to have spikes driven into his wrists and through his ankles and undergo the crown of thorns and the spear that would come and the cat of nine tails, 39 lashes on his back. If there's any other way, Father, it would be great if I didn't have to do this. That's literally what he was saying. Now look at verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. This is what's quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. It's the same that we just read. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. My goodness sakes. That encouraged our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to go through the pain and the things that he had to, you know, undergo in the hours shortly after this would have taken place. Now jump back over to Hebrews chapter 1. So what I'm saying is angels ministered to him in the garden there, showed up after he died and rose up from the dead. Angels are ministering spirits that are sent in the earth today to minister for you and I. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse number 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, he didn't. Lucifer wanted to be that angel that would have that. He wanted a throne, remember? He wanted the same authority. He wanted to be like the most God. I'll be like the most high, he said in the book of Ezekiel. But he didn't say it to any angels. He said that to Jesus. And so now verse 14, are they, this is talking about the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? Who's an heir of salvation? If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are an heir of salvation. You are joint heirs, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. Oh my, we're seated in heavenly places in him. In other words, you have authority over the devil. He said, in my name, you go. My, that's authority. So it's amazing to me the fear that I am seeing in society today and in church. There are people in not only this church, they know better, you know, but they're choosing to grab a hold of the fear in the thing. You can't do that. I'm telling you, you can't. But I would say the vast majority of SRC is saying, you know what? We're not going to be afraid of this thing. We're going to do the smart thing. We're going to wash our hands. We're going to, you know, not come up and say, cough in my face, please. We're not going to do that. We're not hugging right now. Ann and I still hug. I hugged Austin the other day. Nobody's going to tell me I can't hug my wife if I want to. Amen. And so anyway, you know, we're doing the smart things. We're staying and keeping that 6-foot thing here at the church when we do come in and do these services. Everything is being done according to the order that is put out there. But we're not afraid. We are not afraid. Fear, Austin, we were talking about this the other day. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. Faith brings the blessings of God. Fear will bring the curse. You are redeemed from the curse of the law by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're redeemed. So for Christians to get all bent out of shape and afraid right now, you can say, well, I'm not afraid. Well, then why are you acting like you are? We're not getting together right now with church members. I drove by, Ann and I were coming home from... We had been stopped at a restaurant and got some food through the drive-thru, you know. And one of our church members was out on their porch when we drove by the house, and I honked the horn big, and she waved. She was out there. It was Rhonda. And we praise God for that. But, you know, we're just not afraid. And I think in order to function in faith, you've got to keep fear held at bay. You can't function in faith and fear at the same time. Well, I'm believing God, but I'm not sure you're going to take care of me. I'm believing the Lord. Oh, I trust you, God. I'm not sure you can do it. Fear, all fear is a slap in God's face saying, you're not big enough nor powerful enough to protect me. Well, Pastor Dan, you don't just go around. That's what I just said. You don't go around and not wash your hands and try to expose yourself to people and all that stupidity that some people try to put off as walking in faith. That's not walking in faith. You want to be smart. Okay, God gave you a brain, use it. Don't just use it as, you know, your head as a thing to put your hat on. Good night. He gave you a brain, use it. And he expects you to do that. Amen. But our words are important. And angels are underneath our authority. So verse number 14 says that these angels are sent to minister for those of us who are heirs of salvation. Right down underneath this, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, you can put that down there and read it, and then again verses 13 and 14, and 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3 says that we will judge the angels one day. Number two, angels are ready to work for us. Angels, the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse number 10, see your face. Do you realize that? They can see your face, and they can see the look on your face and the fear on your face, literally. I have had times where angels have intervened in my life. My goodness sakes. I was going to the club. I taught tennis up in Milwaukee, and I was leaving our city, Cedarburg. I was going out the back way. I would always go down to the club, kind of the back way through Mequon that way and past the golf course. And two times on that road, I nearly got killed. And the Lord warned me twice. And it stopped a horrific, it would have been a fatality, accident. I was driving down the road, and I came to the stop sign at, I forget the highway, whatever that highway is right there, south of Cedarburg. Is that 140? It's not 143. Anyway, but I was at that stop sign. You go all the way down, and you come to this stop sign, and it's a four-way stop. And that 60-mile-an-hour speed limit road coming from the interstate to the east. And I got to the stop sign. It wasn't a stop sign. And I started to go, and I heard the Lord say, or it was an angel, okay? I don't care who it was, frankly. But stop! And I stopped. And just as I stopped, I looked, and a car blew through the intersection at 60 miles an hour easily. Two girls driving a VW Rabbit. I'll never forget it. Hair bouncing, laughing, huh? No cell phones. Just plain stupid, you know what I'm saying. But it could have been two guys, by the way. In fact, the next one I'm going to tell you about was a guy. So I'm not being sexist here, okay? I just remember those girls bounced through they went through the intersection. Their hair was flying. They had a convertible. Never stopped. Would have killed me. I would have been right there. It would have T-boned me and killed me. Another time I was coming back from the club, and I was driving down the road. I was just praying, and I had an unction to pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. And I began praying, and I didn't know why. And the Lord said, slow down. I was on a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit right there, and I was probably knowing me right there and then some. And the Lord said, slow down. So I've learned you need to listen. I slowed down, and I slowed down. I took my foot off the gas. I'll never forget it. I took my foot off the gas. It was really warm out. Windows were open. And I had all my tennis gear and stuff here, and I had just been praying. I slowed down, and I was coming upon a blind intersection. And just as I was approaching, I don't know how far from the intersection I was, maybe 100 feet. I don't know. I wasn't that far from it. Maybe a little further, maybe a little less. Don't know. Don't care. A car blew through that intersection at, again, 50, 60 miles an hour. Had I not taken my foot off the gas, I can't prove it to you, but you can't disprove it. And I've said it that way every time I've told this testimony. I know in my heart of hearts I would have been in that intersection. There's just no two ways about it. And when that car blew through, my heart just went, oh, and I was like, oh, dear Lord, thank you. It pays to listen. The enemy's tried to take me out a few times. I've got news for that punk. He's not going to do it. Now I'm even more well aware of the ministry of angels. And I have these angels working on my behalf all the time in the name of Jesus. And you need to as well. Loose angels to garrison round about your homes and round about your vehicles when you drive, and talk to the Lord and be listening, and don't get all caught up in some stupidity on your phone or on, you know, texting and driving. Are you kidding me? People can't drive when they're not texting. You know, you don't want to be doing that. That's absolutely stupid. They need to build it into every car. The minute you get in, it disables that texting function. I believe that thoroughly. I think they ought to make it against the law to even make a phone call while you're driving. And I'd be fine with that, pulling over, you know. Anyway, but angels are ministering spirits sent to minister for those who are heirs of reconciliation. That's you and I. They come to minister for us. But I just want to center in quickly as we close on the fact that the angel in Daniel chapter 10 was sent because of the words that Daniel spoke. Now, what you say is your faith speaking. What are you saying? A lot of people are saying what they have. The Bible tells us in Mark 11 verses 23 and 24 that you can have what you say. But most believers have that thing flip-flopped and turned around, and they're saying what they have. Well, we never have enough money. Or, well, you know, if we always get ready to go on vacation and one of the kids gets sick. This always happens. Every year I go through this. Every year, blah, 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 blah. And you can locate people by the things that they're saying. You locate people by what they're saying. Not to judge them, mind you, But what's coming out of their mouth is a locator, and it will locate people. That's why I say to you, during this time when this virus is floating around, my goodness, man, it's a microscopic virus. I saw somebody had posted a thing, if a microscopic virus can cause this much activity in the earth, what could a seed of faith, a mustard seed of faith, do when the word is spoken? I mean, come on. Either we're living this thing or we're not. Either we're going to cower in fear and shake in our boots because, oh, I might get something. You know what? Next year, what's it going to be? What's the financial forecast regarding your money? Well, I just don't. You know, you got to trust God with your money. You need to trust God in your investments. You need to trust God with, you know, whatever it is in your life regarding your ability to purchase things. You need to be wise in how you purchase and what you purchase, of course. But you need to be trusting God there. You need to be trusting God for your protection, your provision over your person. Amen. I mean, it's absolutely essential. And so as believers hear this kind of a message, the enemy wants to shut this stuff up. He doesn't like this. He likes the nice little benign message where somebody gets up and acts cool. I'm going to be cool to you today and not teach you anything. You need to be taught the word of God. One of the biggest complaints I have that I see regarding churches, there's so many Christians that don't know what the word says and aren't taking this word seriously. They go to church out of obligation. They go to church because it's the thing to do. We get dressed up, and now a lot of folks aren't even dressing up anymore at all. I like to be casual like the next guy. But when Sundays roll around, I like to put on something a little bit special and show reverence. If I was going to meet President Donald Trump or Vice President Mike Pence today, I wouldn't go in there with a shirt hanging out and blue jeans ripped up and being cool, hip, and happening. I wouldn't be doing that stuff. If you showed up like that, they'd say, now, we'll schedule this another time, or maybe not at all. You didn't even know enough to dress decently to come in to the presence of the leader of this nation or the second in charge in this nation. I mean, that's just the way that you do things. These same guys that want to do this stuff all the time, well, they do a funeral, suddenly they got a tie on. Why? Because that dead body that you're speaking over is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ that you're preaching? Hey, I'm just saying. This we've got to be cool. No, the world is not supposed to influence you to blend in with it. We need to stand up and stand out. Or you do a wedding, you wouldn't think of doing a wedding in a pair of jeans and a shirt hanging out. Because you're the cool man or the cool lady. You know, I dress like that a lot throughout the week. In fact, most of the time, that's where you'll see me. But not when I'm doing kingdom business. Amen? Yeah. Well, whatever. Some will say, that's legalistic. No. If you know me, you know I'm not legalistic. I really am not. If anybody knows me, I am not bound by tradition. This is a show of respect to me. Okay. Now, it mattered what the priest wore back in Bible days and in the Old Testament, those that ministered to the Lord, it did matter what they wore. It did. So that's just me. Okay. You wear what you want. Praise God. Let me just close with this. You need to have corresponding works with your faith. Now, in Genesis 15, verse 6, the Bible said that Abraham was justified before the Lord. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the New Testament reiterates that as well. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it talks about Abraham when he took Isaac to be sacrificed, and the Bible said he received him, raised up from the dead in a figure. I want you to go over to James chapter 2 quickly, and we will close. James is the next book to the right. James chapter 2. And works do not make you righteous or justified before the Lord. But your works do have something to do with the exercising of your faith. So we're talking about speaking God's word. We're talking about employing the agency or the those ministering spirits, the angelic ministry that's available to us, getting them involved in our lives, speaking what God says, remembering that angels will minister on your behalf, sure, but then also remembering that there are some works that have to accompany our faith. The Greek reads corresponding actions when it talks about faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, now I want you to see, okay, back up to verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. The Greek word for dead there is nekros, and it means just plain old graveyard dead. Amen? A corpse, dead. So faith without works is dead. It's alone. So a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll turn around and tell you, I'll show you my faith by my works. You've heard that old expression, I can't hear what you're saying. Your actions are speaking so loudly. You know, there are people that talk a good game, but they don't live it. They talk a good game. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Have you ever met anybody like that? You say, Pastor Dan, I've been that person. So, no, we need to not just talk it, we need to walk it. Talk is cheap, but it will cost you if you're saying the wrong things. You need to write that down. So Abraham was justified before the Lord. He was already justified, as I quoted to you, Genesis chapter 15, but it was because he trusted in God. He was made righteous. The word justified means to be made righteous, or righteous means to be justified or made right in the sight of God. So he was justified already. We find that back in Genesis 15. But here, James is writing, and he says in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. Yeah, they do tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, wait a minute. I thought we just said he was justified by faith. And he was. Book of Romans talks about it. And Genesis chapter 15 talks about it. Abraham, when he believed God and trusted God enough to turn from worshiping the moon in Ur of Chaldees and crossed over. Abraham was the original Ibri, the original Jew. Ibri means to cross over. And he crossed over to worship the Lord, the God of the Bible. And when he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness' sake. What did he do? Well, he went to offer Isaac up. He was going to kill his own son. But what words did he speak before he took the boy and they went up into the mount? He told the people, the company that was with him, the lad and I will return. And they get up there, remember, and I said this last time, is that, you know, I mean, Isaac's going, hey, where's the sacrifice? And he's probably thinking, you know, okay. And Abraham said, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. And remember, Isaac was not some little skinny, scrawny little kid that Abraham could overpower. Isaac was probably close to 18 years of age, somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe a little younger, who knows? I mean, it's somewhere in that he was grown and surely strong enough to overpower a man of Abraham's age. Amen? Abraham was over 100. Think about it. And that's not like Bible years. No, that's 100 years. He was over 100. He was 100 when Isaac was born. He's probably nearing 118, 20 at this time. And you think this kid, this young scrapping guy, couldn't take care of him? He could have. But he listened to his dad. That's a good one for you, Austin. Amen. I love my son. He's a good guy. And he does. But So when he believed God and he took that knife and was going to plunge it into the chest of his only son, the one he had been believing for, the Lord stopped him, okay? And then he turned and looked and saw the ram caught in the thicket, and the ram was sacrificed in place of, and I praise God, Isaac is going, woo, man. Wow, that was close. But look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Who was he justified before? It wasn't God that he was justified by works. Who was he justified before? We just found that you're justified by faith, not by works. But faith without works is dead, necros, lifeless, a corpse. Who was he justified? If he was justified by works, he was justified in the eyes of the people, not God. You don't make yourself righteous before God by doing something. It's not your works that produced your salvation. That's what it's pointing at. He was justified before the people. And I want to say this to you, all of you church and the rest of y'all that are out there and the few that are here today. What you do matters. And the kind of reputation that precedes you matters. You don't go around and act like a hellion and then try to lead people to Jesus. That doesn't work. No, no, no. Your works need to say loud and clear who you are. You don't turn it on and turn it off. Act like a Christian one day and a devil the next. You need to be justified before people. People need to see Christ in you. That's part of your ambassadorship, if you will. They need to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So Abraham was justified before the people by the works. And I'll just cross-reference you there with Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible said Jesus saw the faith of those who were carrying the man on the stretcher. You remember that? He saw their faith. I'm telling you something. People can see your faith too. People can see your faith. And people are watching the Christians right now. At this time when all this stuff is going on, how are the Christians acting? Is there a voice of reason? Are there people that are actually functioning normally? And you know what? Believe it or not, there are a lot of Christians who aren't practicing the word right now. They're taking a break from church and church activities. I understand that. We're in that position. We have to do that. But you don't take a break from God. You don't take a break from the word and your time in the word. And I'm just, thinking, we need to be walking this thing. This should be the same today as it was 5 weeks ago when we met on a Sunday. Or on a Wednesday. Or then on Monday when we're doing the word. Or Tuesday. Or the rest of the days of the week. We need to be doers and not just hearers. Amen? All right. So it's time to stand up. So let's everybody just stand up and hear. We're going to close in prayer. So get the angels involved in your life. Get angels involved in your life. They want to do the work of bringing things to you. Get your words ordered right. Say what God says about you. Say what the word says. Get angels out there to bring things to you. I'm telling you, angels will go out, and I say this all the time, angels bring the money in that the church needs. Take care of that. Stay around my vehicle. Stay around my house. Stay around the church buildings. Garrison around about the church family. Protect them. Watch over them. Oh, yeah. But you know what? As a believer, you have responsibility too. So I'm going to pray in just a moment. And if there are any prayer requests, and you know where your need is today in your life, if it's a financial need, if it's a physical need, whatever it may be, there may be a marital need, a relationship need. There may be a need. Some people say, well, I need a new job. Well, okay, let's be believing God together. But before we do that, I'm going to pray that in just a moment. I want to make sure that everybody out there has opportunity to receive Christ if they have not at this point. So just bow your head wherever you're at right now. Just bow your head with me. And let's pray the simple prayer of rededication for some and accepting Jesus maybe for the first time for others. There's no telling how many people are going to watch this and see it. And so we want to make that available to you. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose up from the dead for me and that you're alive forevermore. I believe that you are God in the flesh, sent to redeem me from sin, to redeem me from sickness and disease, to redeem me from poverty. I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my soon coming King. I believe in you. I will live for you, and I'll tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you've done that for the first time, then you need to contact us and let us know that you've done that. You can contact us through our website, solidrockchurch-stillwater.org, and let us know if that was the first time, or maybe it was a rededication. Let us know about that. For the prayer requests that are out there right now, just one more time, bow your heads. And let's believe God right now. Father, you know the needs of the people that are watching this and listening to this. Father, we thank you right now that you are the God that heals. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. You are Jehovah Yireh, the God that sees and provides. They have needs in their lives, and you see what those needs are. And I thank you that you are a God who is actively involved in meeting his people's needs. So, Father, we turn these situations over to you, and I exercise my faith on behalf of the people right now. And get into agreement with them where the word is concerned for their health and their well-being. That they would walk in divine protection in their lives. That the angels of God would garrison round about them and protect them as they go down the road. Lord, you already said you'd not leave us and you'd never forsake us, so we're thankful for that. I thank you today and praise you today for answering the prayers, the needs of the people this day as they come before you in faith. In the name of Jesus, we believe we receive, hallelujah, our provision right now, our health and restoration. For those that are afflicted with the coronavirus, we pray healing over their bodies, that they would recover in Jesus' name, that there would be a sweeping recovery in process even right now in Jesus' name. And those of us that have not been affected and will continue to stay free from any virus. And we are praising you and thanking you as our wonderful Lord. You take care of us and watch over us in Jesus' name. If y'all can agree with that, please say amen. Amen and amen. Well, listen.